see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast.
Perfect.
Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome back to Watching for Jesus Bible study for tonight. We're going to do part, part four of Daniel tonight. Yep, it's part four. January the 8th, Thursday. Daniel. And we'll see where we get tomorrow, part five, and that should be the end of it. And I know at least by tomorrow we'll have the 70th week. That should be in itself anyway. The 70th week of Daniel, being that the 69th week stopped when Jesus was rejected, crucified, rose again. Everything stopped. Went on a whole pattern until the 70th week. If it accepted Jesus then, we'd have been there today. But not so. He's rejected again. Here comes judgment. It's the 70th week. 7 years was avoided. 70 years, 7 years will eventually begin with the first seal. There you go. The sevens. You see sevens. Seven seals, seven trumpets, and the seven bowls. That's yet to happen. Man, it's not even close to that. You know, we talked today at the broadcast about gun control. Yesterday was health, education, health, was how they control the health care. Seventh-day Adventists, they got a hand in that. Education, how they've controlled education. I could do one for every, all seven of their rays. All seven areas. Politics, religion, finance, philosophy, education, science, and the arts. Seven, what they call Ashram rays. seems that we're covering them. Each one has objectives, milestones, and their own set of experts to control it, which controls mankind. We're in a prison planet and don't even know it. But God's in control. That's something they don't realize. That's something they don't realize. So, let's dedicate the broadcast, and then let's talk about Daniel, and we'll go into From the Kingdom of Christ, the very fiery furnace we talked about last night, and tonight we'll go more in detail about how the king dreamed again, and the reign of Belshazzar, and Daniel's visions. To the reign of Darius. Even back then, they had the wave of anti-Semitism. And the last thing we'll talk about, of course, would be Daniel's 70th week. Daniel's 70th weeks. 70 weeks total. 69 have ended. The 70th one is yet to happen. Lord, thank you tonight. We come together in prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, we have another Bible study. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We bring before you, Father, our study, our desire to want to learn. Lord, guide me tonight, as you have in the past. And Father, forgive me of my sins, my thoughts, if they're not pleasing to you. Lord, listen tonight to the prayers that you hear in the hearts tonight. Lord, to guide us to understand what is to come, working through this book of Daniel, that, Lord, we know that when the time does come, that you'll cause us to recognize the events as they approach and they occur, that, Lord, to give us an insight and give us opportunities to lead others, Father, to for us to be protected, that we can, Father, be a teacher. And, Father, the courage to stand before those in the end that are in the persecutions yet to come, that Father, our lives mean something. The Father will serve a purpose in your kingdom. We pray for our brethren. We pray for our family members. Lord, for healing and for those, Father, to be that's on the verge, on the fence, that Father, they'll see the light of your Son, Jesus. We pray for these conversions. We pray for protection of those that have converted over, that, Lord, that they'll be protected in their walk as they learn and go along the way. Father, we pray for discernment and wisdom to guide us in our walk, protection in our efforts. In all these things we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I really don't foresee getting into the 70th week until tomorrow, actually. I think today we'll prepare the basis for this. But the 70th week is in itself a study, and I could go over it a little bit tomorrow night, possibly. It depends. I anticipate it, because it's not an easy part to teach, the 70th week of Daniel. It's very difficult. The difficulty is simplifying it enough to understand it. In the kingdom of Christ, in Daniel, we talked about Daniel 2, 44 and 45. We talked about the stone cut. Without hands, we see the kingdom of Christ, whose kingdom shall never be destroyed. And it brings up to an end all the other kingdoms that have preceded it, that we've talked about. Christ will come and set up a kingdom that will last forever. He's the one, not Nathan and not Solomon. The offspring of David is about Jesus. And we talked about where it talks about the stone. Psalms 118, 22. See, the Bible helps itself. It's just not one part that you read part of the Bible. The Bible itself is one unit covering 1,500 years, 40 authors, 66 books, and many of the authors never met each other except for the disciples. Ezekiel and Daniel were about the same time period. That's about it. 118:22, the stone which the builders refused had become the headstone of the corner. Headstone is Jesus, the Godhead. Isaiah 8:14. In Isaiah 8:14, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, for a gin, for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And that is Isaiah, what did I say it was? Isaiah 8:14. And in Isaiah 8:14, take a peek at that right quick. I need to look at it. Really encompasses 11 to 15. So, for the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me, Isaiah, that I should not walk in the way of the people, saying, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom the people shall say, a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. He shall be for sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, for a gin, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Well, God Jehovah, not Yahweh, but God Jehovah instructs Isaiah not to join this people in their fear, conspiracy formed against them, but to trust the Lord alone. Boy, that hits home, don't it? Because many join in this conspiracy against God because their fear that they have. Boy, that hits home smack dab. That's why they join. That's why generals and colonels and presidents and statesmen and spokesmen and CEOs and all these guys that are smart, millionaires, Illuminati, CFR members, all that. Even Albert Pike, who's a Confederate general, while they join, they are instructed, they're taught, this is what we do. This is how we control what's going on. You can be a part of it or you can be against us. But look how strong we are. Oh, I guess I better join you. That's what happens. But here he talks about, God says he'll be the sanctuary to all who rely on him, but a stone, a stumbling to all the others. That's clear. Satan does opposite. He'll say, look how powerful I am. What can I give you? Join me here now. That's your stone of stumbling. Huh. And Isaiah 28:16. In Isaiah 28:16, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Yeah. See, here God established the Messiah as the only worthy object of trust, a sure foundation. You know, those who rely on him never need to run scared. Under his rule, we'll have to meet the test of justice and righteousness. And judgment will sweep away every false object of trust. And then you have 28:16, 28:17. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away, the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding places. Everything will be revealed, in other words. And this talks about that in other places in the scripture. About all lies will be revealed to all. So, see, that's amazing how, so, you can just go anywhere, and the Bible refers to itself throughout that 1,500 years. No contradictions. Let's go one more. Zechariah. Not Zephaniah, but Zechariah. Here's Zephaniah. Let's go to Zechariah. Zechariah 3 verse 9. Now, in Zechariah 3:9, for behold the stone, there it is again, that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts. I'll remove the iniquity of that land in one day. It just amazes me how this Bible is so like one unit, like one book put together over so many years, so many different authors, all different backgrounds. Zechariah 3:8. It's Joshua here. And his fellow priests were a sight to behold, a wondrous sight. Men, women, or men wondered at, and men that are for a sign. Theologian Unger, U-N-G-E-R, elaborated. He said, I quote, men of prophetic, potent men who in their official position shadow forth coming events. Through Christ, Israel will be redeemed and restored, constituted a high priestly nation, where Joshua and his associate priest prefigure. But in verse 8 here, Christ is spoken of as my servant, the branch. In capital letters in the King James Bible. My servant, the branch. In verse 9, for behold the stone that I've laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts. I'll remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Well, he's referring to here the figure of a stone. And that refers back to Daniel 2:34 and 2:35. what we're talking about. Some suggested that the branch applies to the first advent. The stone is to the second advent, which it does. Another theologian, Gabalin, it sounds like, says that the engraved stone with seven eyes on it must also mean the redeemed nation, the foundation of the kingdom that's filled with his spirit. For you read in connection with it, I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. He speaks of it restored Israel as nucleus of the kingdom of God. And what do you think that might be? Well, as in 3:10 of Zechariah, in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor, unto the vine and unto the fig tree. You're the vine, I'm the branch. Yeah. He speaks of restored Israel, but the pastoral life, a nature of pastoral life, in the millennium. That's after Armageddon. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Man, I tell you, you know, that's some really heavy stuff going on there. And how the Bible just confirms itself. And not one contradiction. Everybody claims, well, there's contradictions everywhere. There's thousands of them. Every time, it's never, not once has it disappointed me. Not once. I say, well, okay. You say it's got contradictions? Yeah, there are thousands of them. Well, I say, all right. And this happened. It's never failed. Show me two. Give me one. They can't ever do it. That can never do it. Or they'll do a copy-paste 101 contradictions of the Bible, which they've been taught. And there are 101 contradictions of the Bible. You got 101 answers to the contradictions of the Bible. Every single time. Not one exception. You see? And then what they do to get over it, they get mad at you, block you, or run away, or insults, or whatever, for distraction, because they can't go any further. Every single time. So, you know, at the time of Nebuchadnezzar, he dreamed his dream that the Persian kingdom did not exist at that time, and it was merely a Babylonian existence. It would have seemed impossible that a strong Greek empire would rise. So there's no way for him to actually dream, you know, what we talked about last night, about the silver, the bronze, and the iron. And then what they meant wasn't even an anticipation, because Greece wasn't even strong enough. So there's no way to say, well, we think Greece is going to rise to the occasion, because it was too weak. It was nothing then. So there's no reason to think that he would dream that by himself. If you also notice, from gold, silver, bronze, and iron, feet of iron and clay, that also indicates a deterioration in value. Gold, silver, brass, and iron. And that reveals the weakening of the power of each succeeding empire. And you find a condition of iron mixed with brittle clay. And what that does suggest, as we said last night, attempted unions between the democratic and the imperialistic form of government back then, like Rome, that was taken away from the inside. And do the forms of government exist today, as we name them, fascism, communism, democracy, They just go away as they're controlled. One after the other. Do they represent the toes of clay and brittle and not holding together? Yeah, they do. So people are going to ask, when will the stone fall? We know not the day nor the hour that this one last stone. But the King is coming with power and great glory. All his holy angels to establish his kingdom in Jerusalem. So when King Nebuchadnezzar fell to his face and started worshiping Daniel at this time, he declared that his God was the God of all gods. So, but this revelation of God that he had all of a sudden, like a flash in the pan, had little real effect upon Nebuchadnezzar. It didn't bring him to his knees before God, though. Isn't that what happened to people some days? They get born again or saved. On fire, and all of a sudden just kind of fizzles. It happens. So then you move on. Face a very tense moment. If Nebuchadnezzar set up a golden image in the plain of Dura, commanded all people to fall down and worship it. Is that not consistent with what's coming down the pike on the Antichrist that's yet to happen again? He'd commanded all people to fall down and look at it and worship it and so forth. And if anybody refused, it's thrown in the fire, man. Thrown in the furnace. Is that kind of like mocking God? You ever think about that? Just like Satan working through Nebuchadnezzar. Worship the beast. Worship the image. Don't. You're going to my hell. It has to be a furnace, man-made. That's mocking God. Because hell is fire. So Satan has to make a furnace to make it look like God. That's how Satan mocks God. Three in the throng refused to obey him. And yeah, they were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And spies from the city reported their disobedience to the king. They knew what God said, "There shall not make unto thee any graven image. They shall not bow down, therefore, to them." But you know today, the clergymen from FEMA are going to say, do everything the government tells you to do. And there'll be us that say, well, no, we're not going to. It's coming. Nothing new under the sun. But these three were fearless in the presence of the eastern despot. And so the story that we've heard many times, the fiery furnace and the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So what's the most amazing thing about this scene? Yeah, the Son of God was with them. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said, I see four, one like the Son of God. How do you know that? Because God put it on his heart. That's who's there. God speaks to even those not with him to use them. Again, he was filled with great admiration for this miraculous power, the God of these three men. Still, he doesn't bow to worship God in humility. You think back about Moses and the Pharaoh and the plagues. He calls Jehovah, not Yahweh. He calls Jehovah their God. So now remember that God wants us to say, my Lord, my God, like Thomas did. Some of us are stubborn. I, for one, am, or was, or have been. I'm still stubborn to man. I'm real stubborn. But to God, I'm not stubborn at all. He got my attention on several occasions. Quite extensively, I might add. It took a lot. I'm nobody special. He does it to everybody that, I guess, it's at one point in time. Some people don't need to go as low as I did. Oh, he took me down all kinds of ways. Some people don't have to go down as low as I did. Christ said, when ye pray, say, Our Father. And you know, that's why I'll never say Father to a priest or anybody else. Because the Bible says not. Now you know why. Only one Father, one Master, one Redeemer, nobody else. So the erecting of an image will be repeated by the beast and the Antichrist. The last head of the Gentile world domination. There's been many Antichrists, but there'll be just one more to go. And that's where you have your timeline of Daniel's dream that we read about today. Go back. And we've named that they would not have been able to name back then. We have today been able to name those in that timeline. That's key to knowing the signs of the time. Is it not? Now you see the value of the Bible, the value of knowing what it says and how it applies today, how close we are. And we know that Babylon was 605 B.C. to 539 B.C. We know that from 539 B.C. to 331 B.C. was Cyrus the Great, the Persian Empire. Silver. Do we know that from 331 B.C. to 168 B.C., number three was, who conquered Medo-Persia, was Greece, who used bronze weapons. He ruled Alexander the Great. He ruled one of the greatest military minds of all time, ever. Greek weapons were made of bronze. So Greece was a belly and thigh of bronze, number three. And then Greece, in June the 22nd, 168 B.C., at the Battle of Pydna, the kingdom of Alexander fell. It was 144 years from his death under the Iron Monarchy of Rome. And Rome went from 168 B.C. all the way through to 476 A.D. Up to that time, 31 A.D. was when Jesus Christ was crucified. 70 A.D. where they destroyed Jerusalem. Who conquered Rome? Rome was conquered from within. Feet of clay. By German, Swiss, French, Italy, English, Portuguese, Spanish. All divided into separated Rome. What you have today is now called, back to it, the revival of the Holy Roman Empire. The beast with a deadly wound is healed. Come back together. Call the UN. Huh, wow. So through the Vatican, the Holy Roman Empire, to have it be revived, they will cause a war between the children, the descendants of Ishmael of Abraham, to fight the descendants of other descendants of Abraham, Isaac, to go to war with each other, that hadn't happened yet, is the planned World War III by the Holy Roman Empire. That is the plan by Albert Pike. For them to accomplish that, they must have humankind to turn away from God for their wish to come true and their plans to come to fruition. And they get us, they get humankind to turn away from God. Age movement, same-sex marriage, child euthanasia, drugs, by war. All these ways, by the rock and roll music, by the art, that is ways to lead people astray. I can just go on and on. You see how it works? This is the big picture. This is what's really going on today. It's not even gun control. It's not the health care bill. It's not FEMA camps. GMO products. All this stuff is to keep us in fear and distracted. It's not who they appoint as president in 2016. All this stuff is to keep us all distracted and tied up and in fear. I look at the big picture. Doesn't make me special. Just a choice I decide to do. Divided Rome. Feet partly of iron and clay coming back together as the United Nations. Bringing everybody under one race. Now you see how that works? Under one race. Eventually one language. The New World Order. One religion. New Age movement. Luciferian eventually. One currency. See how that works? Anyway, back to, okay, Revelation 13. Uh, 11 to 15. And I beheld another beast, there it is, coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. He spake like a dragon. He exercised all the power of the first beast, Roman Empire, before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. There it is. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. That's what I call supernatural whiz-bang smoke and mirrors and technology. And deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make image to the beast which had the wound by sword and did live. And he had the power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast would both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast be killed. And then Revelation 19, 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. The false prophet will be the one called Sanan de Manuel, a fallen angel, by the way. He's also calling himself Yahuwah, Yahshua, Yahweh, or Yahshua. That's the one they're calling that. He looks like we think Jesus looks like, but he's not. Sanan de Manuel, a fallen angel. We'll bring peace, but this is the peace we'll placate people. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Not a good thing. Revelation 13. I'm curious about that one. So, when you look at the scripture, that second beast we're talking about is another prominent figure of the tribulation. And so he works closely with the first beast, recognizing as an international campaign for the worship of the first beast. So the first beast would be the Antichrist. The second beast would be false prophet. Or a huge idol representing the Roman Empire, the Roman Emperor. Second beast comes up out of the earth, or land. If the land of Israel is in view, then the leader is almost surely a Jew. He is the false prophet. He has two horns like a lamb, giving the appearance of gentleness and harmlessness, but suggests that he also impersonates the Lamb of God. Speaks like a dragon. Means he's directly inspired, empowered by Satan. He exercises all the authority of the first beast. That means that he has the Roman Empire, gives him unlimited authority to act on his behalf. He's got supernatural powers, even causing fire to fall from heaven. So the purpose of his miracles is to deceive the people worshiping the man as this man is a god. He gives animation to the great image. Ever heard of a hologram? Here's the abomination of desolation. So he can actually speak. The penalty for refusing to worship is death. You remember Superman comic books? Remember on TV, you got Thor, you got all these movies, you got Iron Man and all these heroes. You're not going to like this. But family, the reason for all that is for those supernatural beings, when they actually become public view, and their term is called externalization of the hierarchy. With the hierarchy, they are the fallen angels, the sons of God of the Old Testament. Not yet have they been able to manifest themselves fully. Only a handful have. But once the falling away has occurred, they will then have the authority, the ability to manifest in this realm. They'll be supernatural, like the word in the days of Noah. Mankind will have been conditioned to receive these supernatural beings as superheroes. Now watch this. In real world, for the future, when the rapture happens, whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, what, nobody knows when. Those that's by martyred or preaching, whatever, and God brings them up like it did Elijah or Enoch. That's called the rapture. Whenever it happens, they will be made supernatural. Those alive, their bodies will be translated. Those in the grave, their bodies will be reconstituted back into physical but glorified state, joined up with the soul that's in heaven, and then will become the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven, the judgment seat of Christ. Rewards will be given. You'll be made, whoever it is, will be made supernatural. You getting my point here? And so, then, at that point of abomination of desolation, there'll be mortals still here, and it says to them, head for the hills when the Antichrist says, I'm God, at the temple, halfway into the tribulation. That's when they tell them to head for the hills. They'll be protected there, but they'll be mortal. So then comes the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation, the trumpets and the bowl judgment, Armageddon, and this will be your supernatural transhumanized evil against Jesus Christ himself. And once again, God will have them to fight themselves to the death. This is after World War III, long way after. That's why you have 100-pound hailstones at the seventh trumpet, the seventh bowl, because it'll be transhumanized. Super strong men that will fall by God's power. Then Armageddon's over. Jesus Christ returns with his saints who are supernatural, and they'll rule with him. You see what's happened? Humans made supernatural, humans made immortal, will now rule over the mortals, but benevolently, and the head will be Jesus Christ in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. You'll still have mortals on earth for 1,000 years to rebuild the human population back to where it was before, but under a different influence. Whose influence we are today? God of this world is Satan, under the same ashram rays, politics, religion, finance, science, the arts, philosophy, education, under Satan, as we've shown many times, I've talked about many, many times, thou'll be completely obliterated, and God will start over again under his core leadership and education. With supernatural beings, overnatural humans, rebuilding the population until the end of the 1,000 years, the earth population will be rebuilt. And then Satan is released for another short time to now give all those mortals the opportunity to make a choice. And apparently some nations that's formed up then will make the wrong choice. Because that will cause the battle of Gog and Magog, the last one to happen. After that, the great white throne judgment for all, and those written in the book of life, all will be made supernatural and immortal. A new heaven, new earth, and immortal beings worshiping God for an eternity. That's what's going to happen. Whew. Back to Daniel. I had to get that out. So, and you have the king dreaming again. So this time the king had another dream in Daniel 4, verse 4 to 27. Daniel 4. And in Job 33, verses 14 to 17, the Bible says that God speaks once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, seals their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose, and hide pride from man. Pride's a killer, man, let me tell you. Pride and lust, man, those are killers. They'll send you to hell faster than grease pig through the through the crowd. Where'd that come from? Anyway, that's where I got to say, yeah, that's all, folks. But he's going to hide pride from man. God's spoken often to men in dreams, you know that, to reveal his will when the Bible wasn't open to them. Don't have a Bible? No problem. He writes it on the heart, or he speaks to them in dreams. Well, God spoke to an unsaved man, Nebuchadnezzar, once and gave him an image representing the Gentile kingdoms. He showed him his own doom, and he did not repent. Spoke to him again from the fiery furnace, where he revealed his power to him. There's four, like one like the Son of God. He still didn't repent. His proud heart felt no repentance. Now what you do, you find God in Daniel 4 speaking to, for the third time in a dream, of the great tree which was cut down. You have that in Daniel 4, verse 4 to 27. Okay. You know, that one is a warning, Nebuchadnezzar, the coming madness. And you know, still, God was trying to bring this proud king to the end of himself, but a year later, he turned into a madman, mind gone. He fancied himself a beast, acted like one, Daniel 4, 28 to 34. You know, all this is because he had set himself up as a rival against Almighty God. That don't work too well. Satan learned that the hard way. Daniel 4:30, he says, "It's not this great Babylon that I've built for the house of my kingdom by the might of my power, but for the honor of my majesty." And you know, through his insanity, Nebuchadnezzar, his eyes were opened, his conscience was touched. He confessed his own greatness, or to the greatness of God, and bore his testimony to the goodness of God. Daniel 4, verse 34. There you find, "At the end of his days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High," finally, "and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is his everlasting dominion, his kingdom is from generation to generation." He learned that man is not an architect of his own fortune. Man is not the architect, but man seems to think he is. Then you move on to Daniel 5, pretty much 7 and 8. Here you have Nebuchadnezzar reigned to 562 B.C., after that, you had Merodach, who was a desolate son of Nebuchadnezzar, reigned for 2 years, and Nergal-Sharezer was brother-in-law of Merodach, and his murderer followed with a 4-year reign, no successor after him. Then you had Nabonidus, son of Nebuchadnezzar's second wife. He ascended the throne in 556 B.C. His other name was Labyrinthus. And then you had Belshazzar, son of Nabonidus. And co-regent with him was Medes, imprisoning Nabonidus. Press on to capture, revealing Belshazzar in Babylon. So, when you have chapter 5 that opens up, it opens to a great banquet hall with 1,000 lords sitting about the tables, and his lady's not that night. And all the king's sweethearts were there besides the 1,000 lords. The presence of ladies there seemed to inspire a man to do something spectacular. So, as an extra feature in that night, Belshazzar sent for the sacred golden and silver vessels, which his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, had stripped from the temple in Jerusalem. Now, he showed them just how little he regarded the God of Israel. Big mistake. As they looked, behold, they saw golden and silver vessels adorn the tables, and they had been taken out of the temple, the house of God, in Jerusalem. So the last prince of Babylon, Belshazzar, drank wine to the idols in the sacred vessels. Now, you don't do that. So God showed his power in this awful handwriting on the wall. Daniel was called in to explain the meaning of this handwriting. So the prophet condemned this foolish and sinful young king and read the details of this divine interruption in Daniel 5. That reign of this individual came to a sudden end. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. We're actually not told how it happened. But you learn from Xenophon and Herodotus and Berosus at this strange story, this fall of the great city happened. And a lot of the tablets from Babylon, they've actually found them recently in the past couple of decades, and they tell you that the Persian army took Babylon without a battle. There's your Medo-Persian Empire. That's how that worked out. And 4 months later, Cyrus entered the city. Darius received the kingdom from Cyrus as his vice regent over some parts of the city. Now we're coming, this is a good time to stop, because we enter now, yep, that's about the right time. We enter now into Daniel's vision, heading on to the reign of Cyrus, to the last days, and Daniel's 70th week tomorrow night. Because we're running into tomorrow, in the first year of Belshazzar's reign, Daniel had a vision of four wild beasts. And what it does, it symbolizes the four kingdoms that we talked about in Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel 7. Pictures them as beasts, gives us a hint of the moral character of these empires. For they're represented by the ferocious wild beasts. People like to think that eagle's wings are called, talking, and the eagle is probably talking about the United States, but it's not. At all. We're not even mentioned in the Bible. We're not even a country, man. We're a colony of England, so we don't have any money. And we can't be Great Babylon. People try to say we're Babylon. How's that? It's not possible. So we'll talk a little bit about the four beasts and Daniel's vision that he had of these kingdoms. Then we'll talk about the reign of Darius. And we'll jump right on into that. Reign of Cyrus and the last days. And then, of course, Daniel's 70 weeks. And give a kind of a brief overview of that tomorrow night. This is quite, it's actually five parts. It's really kind of an overview of Daniel. It's to give you kind of an understanding. We could go all next week, talk about the details of the book of Daniel. You could spend several days just on the 70th week of Daniel. It's amazing how God speaks to us through the Holy Word. And I talked about last night in the attempt of Europe to try to come back together, to unite Europe after the Roman Empire had split. And what's really amazing is after Rome had divided, five men have tried to unite Europe. And interestingly enough, these are all of the Merovingian bloodline. Charlemagne, which all of our presidents, Queen Elizabeth II, her bloodline, our of all presidents also, are in the bloodline of Charlemagne. Do y'all get that? Whoa. That's amazing. King John, Charles Maine, all of our presidents are in their bloodline. And you can trace, listen, you can trace, or they can trace, the bloodline of Queen Elizabeth II to Charles Maine, King John. Charles Maine to the pharaohs of Egypt. Uh-huh. The Illuminati. And the pharaohs of Egypt are hybrids of the fallen angels and the daughters of man. Is the Illuminati. Charles Maine, Charles V, Louis XIV, Napoleon, and Hitler are the five that's tried to bring together Europe. And that was supposed to have been phase five, phase six of World War II. It all comes together. Satan has tried. Satan has failed. But it's not for lack of trying. This is the biggest picture you can paint. I don't care what the CFR does. It don't matter what the UN is up to. It don't matter about gun control. All this stuff is secondary to what we're talking about tonight. Because this is the biggest picture. Is Daniel's dream. And the 70th week. It's what it's all about. Family's closed. A lot to think about. Oh, man. So you see why I don't trouble myself with all this fear about FEMA camps and plastic coffins and, you know, and pandemics and all this stuff. All those are trees. I like to look at the forest, a bigger picture, because that's what's going to be the end and the beginning. Everything else is just to keep your eye on the tree and not the forest. And for others, it's so they don't have to see the forest, because they don't want to. But it don't mean it's not there. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. Father, for leading us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for giving us insight into your holy word and the end times events. Father, we know that Bible is our message, the word, the true word in the King James Bible. Father, write upon our hearts the prayers we need to say. Remind us, Lord, of those sins that we might have forgotten, that you remind us what they are so we can repent out of them. We pray, Father, that you'll give us opportunities to witness to others, opportunities to reevaluate our own thoughts. Keep us humble that we may be used in your service. And Father, many more times we have Bible study that lead us in those studies. Father, we see the Word and look through the Word. In these things we pray, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, family, I appreciate y'all coming by. And I'll let y'all remind y'all, yeah, about this. Tonight's my mind's been, woo, tonight was a headbanger. Remind y'all that John Kirkler, Herkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, Herkler, plays my broadcast and Bible studies. And he's up at highpointradio.net, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York. And I appreciate what he does. He has sponsors up there, so pass the word. And he is trying to build more, and he's doing a good job now. He's happy with what's going on. So we've apparently helped him some, from what I hear. It's worked. And he's living his dream. He's got I don't know exactly what that means, but he's got what he needs to build more towers and keep it going. And His sponsors are listed there on his website. And you can use them when you're up there, those that live in those areas up there. So, once again, thank you all for dropping by. And we'll see you all then tomorrow night, or tomorrow afternoon at 4 to 6. With a broadcast. And then 8 to 9 tomorrow night, we'll complete a study on Daniel. And apparently this is kind of a general overview for the past week on Daniel. It's quite a bit to have to do with Daniel. It goes deeper and deeper and deeper the more you get into it. This kind of gives you an overview. So you'll have a good night. And God bless you. And we're going to end with Carrie Joby. One of my favorites. One of my favorites. Have a good night, y'all.